Donnie has been taking us through a series of focus and focusing on our relationship with God. And looking back over the last 3 weeks, he started out with thirsting for God and really looking at the basics of our relationship with God and asking that question or looking at that statement, is it a sign of my soul growth? And then a couple weeks ago, giving to God, we looked at the story of Cain and Abel, and how do we come to worship? Do we come to worship with our hands full, or do we come to worship with our hands empty? To give or to receive when we come to worship? You know, what do I bring God from my heart? And that was really the difference between Cain and Abel's offering. And then last week, being aware of God, what is the presence of God? What might that look like? What might that be? Do we seek the presence of God in our own daily walk, in our own daily time and devotion with Him? Do I live with the presence of God in me as a child of God? Do we really feel like if we are truly believers in God and are walking with God, do we feel His presence as a child of His? Today, our focus is going to be on walking with God. And in that walk with God, where does the responsibility lie in our walk with God? Where does the responsibility lie? Our text today is going to be in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. I encourage you to open to that. We'll be in that scripture time and time again today, looking at different parts of it. If you do not have a Bible, there should be one in the chair in front of you. If you don't own a Bible, please take that as our gift to you. Galatians 5, 16 through 25. I'm going to look at, first of all, verses 16 through 18 and start there. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So Paul sets the scene here as a conflict, an epic battle, a dramatic conflict. And I'll test your history today. If you, I know none of you were around back in September 17th, 1862. Not even Dave Welty was around then. But anybody know what that great date was? Civil War time, Battle of Antietam, North versus South, Union versus Confederate soldiers. You know, the Civil War was, it shaped our country even to this day. There are still, you know, effects really of the Civil War in our society today. You know, think about for a moment if the war wouldn't have turned out the way it did. What would our country look like? You know, each fighter or each side had a cause that they were willing to die for in that Civil War. Each side was even willing to kill friends, family members maybe, for the cause. Because if you do your Civil War homework, you know that there were families that were split and served on each side. In that one battle on September 17, 23,000 casualties in one day in that one battle. Some other interesting facts was the Battle of Gettysburg. 3-day battle, 50,000 casualties in 3 days. Bodies everywhere you think about. And then overall, the war total, 600,000 to 700,000 deaths, over 1 million total casualties in that war. Conflict, two sides. You have to choose a side. There's a battle going on every day, a battle for your soul. It's a major conflict. And it's one of those conflicts that it's not like a sporting event where after the one wins and one loses and you can go out to dinner after that. It's a little bit bigger deal than that. Looking at one of the sides, let's look at the sinful nature here that Paul talks about in verses 19 through 21. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy and drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So on one side of our conflict, we have the sinful nature. This is the path of least resistance. I look at the sinful nature as being a interstate that you're driving down. Direction that you are going. And to me, oftentimes the sinful nature is the easy path, as again, the path of least resistance. Matthew 7:13 says, "For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it." I wrote down the lyrics of a popular song written by a popular group here in the United States, and I'm going to read the lyrics. I'm not going to sing them. You're welcome. Title of the song is "Take It Easy" by the Eagles. "Well, I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. I've got 7 women on my mind. 4 that want to own me, 2 that want to stone me, 1 says she's a friend of mine. Take it easy, take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can. Don't even try to understand. Just find a place to make your stand and take it easy. Well, I'm standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona, and such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, baby. Don't say maybe. I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save me. We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up. I'm climbing in, so take it easy. Well, I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. Got a world of trouble on my mind. Looking for a lover who won't blow my cover. She's so hard to find. Take it easy." Does this song tell us anything about our sinful nature? Does that talk about anything there in verses 19 through 21? This may not be the one that you struggle with from that list. And you may not struggle with, you know, witchcraft. You may not be messing around with witchcraft, but envy, drunkenness maybe, jealousy, selfish ambition. You know, we think about oftentimes, you know, as parents, we raise our children to be independent and to pursue their ambitions in life. Does that ambition ever come so far as to be selfish and nothing else matters but that ambition that we want to achieve? That's a fine line that we have to watch there. Looking also at Paul's writings in Romans 7, 14 through 20, I'm not going to read that, but I encourage you to look that one up and read it. It's kind of wordy, but really what Paul is saying there is we don't know why we do it, we just do it. And it's not necessarily what we want to do as Christians and believers, but it's the easy, natural thing to do sometimes. And we don't even realize sometimes that we're doing it, but we do. And that's really the sinful nature. But every day, you know, you have to answer that question. And we'll bring that question up here in a little bit. What question do you face? I do want to look over at Colossians 3, 5 through 8, again, looking at this sinful nature and another list that Paul writes to the church in Colossae. Colossians 3, 5 through 8. Paul writes here, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways," there's a word walk, "in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things, even as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips." So here again, another list of the sinful nature. What's easy? Again, that interstate highway where everybody seems to go on. It's okay, everybody else is doing it. Maybe that's what you've heard before. It's really not hard to find the acts of the sinful nature in society today. Satan is constantly bombarding us to satisfy and follow our flesh. As with any epic battle, though, there always is two sides. Just in that battle versus the north versus the south, One side that we can follow and one side that we can choose is the sinful nature and those that follow that. But there is another side, and we do have a choice. Let's look at the other side that Paul writes about here in Galatians, verses 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patient kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. In my analogy of the sinful nature being a four-lane highway, I think this one is more like a path up a difficult mountain. And the path may not be marked. It may be you're going on that path and that journey alone. It may seem like you're alone at times, and you're trudging your own path. You know, the rocks are loose. You're going into elevation. It's hard to breathe. It's not an easy path. And Jesus knew that, as he said in Matthew 7:14, just after we looked at 7:13 about the easy path, and many will find it. Here he says in 7:14, continuing on, that narrow is the gate, and only a few will find it. Talking about life in the Spirit and life following him. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, life in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, we live by faith, not by sight. You know, we live by that faith in God, not by the physical, what we can see and do. Again, that flesh versus the Spirit. Looking back again at the list here that Paul puts together, love, joy, and peace, kind of looking at our relationship and our character relationship with God. You know, do we have that love for God, love for mankind that brings about that joy that we want to live and express in our life and giving us that peace that passes understanding, that peace that we know where we're headed and where we're going, that peace in our relationship with him. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Patience, kindness, and goodness. The second three there. Those in our relationship with others. Patience. Are we patient with others? Do we show kindness? Do we show goodness to other people? Can people really see that difference? You know, people are looking for something each and every day in our world today, and they're looking for something different, something that makes a difference. Are we portraying Christ through life in the Spirit by making a difference in those people's lives that we come in contact with each and every day? And finally, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Really working on our own character there, of being a gentle spirit and gentle person, being in self-control all the time and in all circumstances, whatever it might be, showing faithfulness in our faithfulness to our relationships, our husband, our wife, our faithfulness to God and our relationship there, our faithfulness to our coworkers, our faithfulness to our job, of really building that character for people to see. You know, and all of these characteristics of living by the Spirit, it's hard work. It's not easy. And that's part of what, you know, Donnie refers oftentimes to the difference between justification and sanctification. And sanctification is a process. And we are works in process, a work in process. And these attributes that we look at here is part of our sanctification. And again, it is work. I can stick in a DVD, a workout DVD, sit and watch it for 30 minutes, doesn't do me any good. Okay? I can watch it for an hour and a half, it doesn't do me any good. I have to get off the couch, out of the chair, and actually do the workout for it to do me any good. So we have to put forth the work. Yesterday, I was able to attend my daughter Grace as a cheerleader. And she's on the Macomb High cheerleading squad. And they were able to compete in the sectional yesterday and make the top five and are going to advance on to state next weekend. And they're coached by Keita Russell and Sam Foltz, who are both members here of our church. And 48 hours before the competition, one of the girls was injured and could not compete. And so they had to completely change not the routine, but their role in the routine. And they had to find a new person to serve as the person that could no longer be a part of the team. 48 hours before the competition. Thursday night, they put in 5 hours of practice, continued practice, because that was their last opportunity to practice before they traveled to the competition on Friday. They put forth the work, had to. They could have gave up and not gone. That would have been one option, and they thought about that, I think. But they put forth the work and the effort and made, you know, a great thing out of a bad thing. Looking again at these attributes of love, joy, peace, patience, and the whole list are universally accepted all over the world as good. It doesn't matter whether you're here in the United States, doesn't matter whether you're in France, doesn't matter whether you're in Kenya, these attributes are good. And that's why Paul says here, it says, you know, man does not have any law against these. There is no law against these because they're all good. And if there is no law from man that condemns these actions, shouldn't we be practicing them? If they're universally accepted, therefore they should be universally practiced by the children of God. 1 John also writes about these attributes. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6 says, "We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did." And today we're looking at that walking with God. Where does the responsibility lie? We need to walk as Jesus walked. And these attributes here that we've listed in living by the Spirit, obviously he demonstrated in his life here on the earth. Okay, so we've looked at two sides in our conflict. So now in our epic battle, and those two sides have been clearly defined, it's up to us. We as Americans, we enjoy sport, and we enjoy battles, debate, conflict, really, sometimes, and choosing sides. We want the power of choice. Choice is extremely important to us as Americans. People are even willing to die to keep that choice or to defend that choice. The choice of a mate, the choice of a college or university, a career path choice, choice of where we live, choice of the color of our car, even the choice of how much fat is in our milk. That was supposed to be funny. Come on. Thank you. You are out there listening. You know, some places in the world, they don't have choices. You know, they don't give you the choice of how many kids you want to have. They don't give you the choice of your career path because the government says you're going to do this. And so choice is very, very important. And I think it's very important, you know, that God gave us choice and the ability to choose. However, in our conflict today, the choice has a little more riding on it than whether it's 1% or 2% milk. Battle is going on, and you do not have the choice to be a spectator. You have to choose a side. That gift that God gave us may be the greatest gift of all, that power to choose. Yet with that power comes responsibility. And that responsibility is ours. You know, I'm reading in the book Spirit Rising, and using Peter as an example, Peter, you know, when Jesus was here and walked with him and talked with him, and he had the greatest teacher of all kind or of all times, and right alongside of him, Peter failed several times in you know, running out ahead of what Jesus' plan was, maybe, or not wanting Jesus to fulfill, you know, his mission. And Peter was even called Satan, you know, get thee behind me, Satan, because it wasn't God's plan. And Peter was thinking in the flesh and wasn't thinking in the spirit, because Jesus was with him. The spirit was not indwelling within Peter yet. And Christ had to leave in order for that spirit to come. And how was Peter changed? Well, prior to when Jesus was still here, he lied to people, denied Christ. You know, he was living in the flesh. Jesus, after fulfilling his death, burial, and resurrection and his mission and his ascension up into heaven, and then when the Spirit came, Peter was a different person, speaking in front of crowds, maybe even in a foreign language, healing the sick, and feeling and knowing his mission of what his purpose was, because Peter did choose to follow Christ. Galatians 6, 4, and 5 says, we carry our own load for doing good. We choose that. Ezekiel 18, 20 puts it like this: the soul whose sins is the one who will die. The Son will not share the guilt of the Father, nor will the Father share the guilt of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous man will be credited to him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against him. You see, what usually ends the epic battle on a battlefield is death. Whether it's enough death, whether it's the death of a certain person, and death usually leads to end the battle and end the conflict, a side has to surrender. Somebody has to surrender to the other side. Our choice to accept God's path and life by the Spirit, or reject God and live life by the sinful nature, causes death. It's a matter of who dies. Romans 8, 9 through 11, our choice here, Paul says, can result in the death of our sinful nature and living by the sinful nature and accepting God's sacrifice of his Son and eternal life in the Spirit. Or we could also make the choice of living life in this sinful nature and eternal death and eternal separation from God. So the choice is up to us. No choice, and doing nothing really is a choice. Joshua called out to the nation of Israel, choose today whom you will serve. God is still making that same call today. We have to choose sides. We have to choose whom we will serve. God is calling you. You can either accept him or reject him. There is no middle ground. You have to make a choice. Please choose him today.